comes Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here.
Eric Zorn is here.
Oops.
Eric, nice to see
there you.
The music tells you that I'm here.
Yeah.
If you don't see me here, the music will tell you that I'm here.
That's so true, isn't it? There's several things to discuss with you. We wanted to start out with Saturday Night Live a little bit.
I've got a big number for you. Yes, Wendy, you
can we play
hand?
Some audio? Or do, are
you
we
ready,
gonna go
ready
right
to play?
Into
well,
it?
Well, let me.
Okay.
I'll lead into it. How's Perfect. That? How's this for some radio?
Kevin was overprepared today,
no,
so
that's good. Kevin's good. You guys should actually pay him. No, not yet.
Ruin him.
Too soon. The big number is 22. Saturday Night Live has its best ratings in 22 years, and its ratings this year are up 22% total viewership over last year.
Is that the Trump effect?
I believe it is the
it
Trump
is.
Effect. And Trump, of course, has called it unwatchable,
yep.
terrible, and boring,
mm-hmm.
blasting the show. And it is becoming culturally relevant again. Everybody in my circle certainly was talking about the skit on Saturday Night. Usually their opening skit is the one that gets all the attention.
Right.
The opening is the one that it's always political. It's the one that gets the most attention. This one was about, what, a third of the way in? It was before the news. And it was Melissa McCarthy dressed up as Sean Spicer, the mm-hmm. spokesman. And Kevin's got a clip for us, right?
Right. There's so much going on there. Thing number one is this. Nobody knew Melissa McCarthy was going to show up on the show. She was not the host. Kristen
right.
Stewart was the host. So there was a brief second or two where when you were watching it, you had to kind of take it all in of what am I seeing exactly? That doesn't look like anyone I know in the cast.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Nailed it right away because of her dimples.
Oh, yeah. What it was, yeah.
But you could hear the audience didn't quite know at first, and then all of a sudden they roared, but then they roared even louder once they figured it out.
I went right to Twitter to find out who it was, and of course Twitter was all over
it. Did you watch the whole scene without knowing it was Melissa McCarthy?
No, I actually, while it was going on, I went on Twitter to see who it was.
All right.
I'm that quick. I'm that quick with my social media skills. It's incredible.
It was a very funny scene.
Were you watching it live?
Yeah.
And you watching it live?
Yes.
See, and were you... And 3 years ago, were you watching Saturday Night Live? Or?
I can't tell you what I was doing.
On
I mean,
Saturday
sometimes I watch it every week, though.
We, you know, I always DVR it. Almost never watch it live. Was watching this one live.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for years, you know, we would DVR and then like, oh, I don't know. And then maybe I'd watch the opening thing, but that's about it. It's become much more relevant again, especially given that you know the president is watching it.
Yeah.
And that he's probably going to react. He hasn't yet reacted to this yet, and I don't know Sean Spicer.
But Sean Spicer has.
Oh, he has.
Yes.
Yeah, he did this morning. Said it was way over the top and mean spirited, as you would
poor
imagine.
Baby, you think you know what these
it
guys
was
have got?
Dead on.
These guys have got to learn to laugh it off. They really do.
Here's what I don't understand, Eric. Saturday Night Live has been on for decades, and they have made part of their show every week is ripping on whoever's in the White House. They've done it. Since day one of Saturday Night Live, it's been part of it. But Trump and his team don't seem to understand that. It didn't start with them. They've always done this. Why do they get so upset at being lampooned on
the
show?
Chevy Chase started off playing
Gerald Ford
and falling down all
Clumsy,
the time.
Clumsy, yeah.
And
right.
that was really it was unfair. Gerald Ford was an athlete. He's maybe the most athletic president we've ever had.
Yeah.
And yet he made fun of him. And I don't know any president who's ever reacted to it.
Right.
The way Trump has reacted to it. And
they
you know,
haven't.
And I don't, you know, honestly, I don't think that they were as tough on Obama as they were tough on as tough
but
as
they,
Trump.
But they
there
did
were,
bits about
yes.
that. They did bits about how they would throw him softball questions and how they'd, like, he would answer and they'd all fall in. The press would just be looking love smitten with him every time. I mean, that was the joke with him.
It's good. And I think the cast this year is really quite good. I think that the ensemble they put together is really good, and they keep reinventing that show.
Yeah,
you know it's
Big Poppy's my favorite.
very funny.
And they, you know, they'll lose someone like Kristen Wiig, and you think, oh my gosh, they can't go on. And then Kate McKinnon will step up,
right,
and just go. I mean, she's amazing.
She is really great
talent, so it's really worth watching. And again, because you it's got that extra relevance. Because you know that the president's going to respond to it.
I'm Kristen Stewart, is that her name?
Yeah, she hosted.
I've never seen Twilight movies. I don't really know who she is other than she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was very attractive. But if I'm her, I'm bummed that Melissa McCarthy does a quick little guest spot because no one's talking about her. They're talking about Melissa.
They're talking about her because she swore she swore a bit during the opening monologue.
I think
monologue.
That was intentional.
Kevin, we have a little clip of that. Here's the opening monologue from
Saturday
Night
Live. Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a great show, and I totally care that I'm here because it's the coolest thing ever.
I think that was intentional.
Why? What? How?
Because
could they...
I swear a lot. You said I swear more than anyone you've ever met,
you
which is not really
more
true.
More than everyone I know put together.
Okay, that's not funny. But it's I know true. When you're on a live. I have had to dump myself twice in 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, she's on live TV.
But
she knows not
day.
To do it.
But you're always. Are you here every day or not?
No.
You're not here every day? You're here 5 days a week. She's not on live TV every day. So she just got lost up in the... There's no plus for her swearing on purpose. There's zero plus. She could get fined. Lorne Michaels, the producer, hates when people do stuff like that.
You think they could just put it on a 5-second delay to dump it out if they really wanted to handle that problem? Because there was a story, I think it was in the Sun-Times this morning, about the number of people who have dropped F-bombs on SNL over the years. There are four or five times where people have just...
Paul Schaefer did.
Yeah.
Charles Rocket did.
Paul Schaefer did?
Yeah.
Shame on him.
Well, it's often when they're in a sketch where they're playing somebody who's supposed to be profane, and they're saying, you know, flipping this and flipping that, and they're just, you know, they're saying that, and then they fall into the word they're not supposed to say.
I don't know, Bill. I know she's not maybe done live TV like that before,
But look at A.D. Bryant next to her and Kate McKinnon next to her. Look at their reaction. It's a two-pronged attack.
Number one is,
did I just hear that? And then they both, their eyes and mouths get really big like that wasn't a good idea. You could just see it on both of their faces.
I'm just, you know, if I can control it, I feel like anybody can control it.
Do they still find people? I was actually thinking a little bit about this in context of the Super Bowl halftime show. Remember, which was, how long ago was that? 15 years ago?
Yeah.
When
Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
And they got fined, and there was all kinds of upset.
The FCC usually levies a fine. I don't know what will happen in this case.
What happens when you guys have never had that happen here?
We've got a delay button.
We're all right.
Oh, yeah.
And how come they don't on SNL?
They usually do. That's the weird thing is we heard it live, and I said to Terry, well, how did they not dump that if they had a 7-second delay, but they didn't?
Well, you guys, we're on delay right now, right?
Yeah.
Don't test me.
I'm not testing you. I'm just saying we are.
Yes.
What word would you say that you...
Oh, come on. He's tricking you. He's tricking you.
Eric Zorn is here. We're tricking him. Fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune. More coming your way next on WGN.
Right now.
Do you want me to say this now?
Yep.
All right. There's no one like your Valentine. This year, treat them to an unforgettable gift that's as unique as they are, and that would be a gift from Shari's Berries. Shari's Berries shows her that you put thought into finding the perfect gift for her. Freshly dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries starting at just $19.99 plus shipping, or double the berries for just $10 more. Wendy, they sent us a Shari's Berries gift pack. Be honest, delicious or not delicious?
Each one was better than the next one.
Weren't they?
Honestly, they kept getting better.
So good. All you need is our code to take advantage of this deal, and our code is Bill and Wendy, our names. These berries are decadent, they're fresh, they're juicy, they're sweet, they're irresistible, just like you are. Choose berries.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Choose berries dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness. They're all topped with chocolate chips or decorative swizzles or chopped nuts. Shari's Berries will deliver your gift fresh and on time, guaranteed, or you get your money back. How about that? With Valentine's Day right around the corner, there's only one way to get Shari's Berries starting at just $19.99. Visit Berries, B-E-R-R-I-E-S, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in our names, Bill and Wendy. Go to berries.com, click on that microphone, and type in Bill and Wendy. Order them now.
Wednesday night. The Blackhawks need a big win against division-leading Minnesota. They hope to get it in St. Paul. Hawks Wild, pregame at 6:30, the puck drop at 7. Every minute of Chicago. Chicago Blackhawks action this season on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
Attention, men. If you have tried or wanted to try Viagra or Cialis, or if you've ordered an over-the-counter product in the last few years, Noxetril is an option that is completely private, has received tremendous reviews, and can be at your door in just days. Pharmaceutical companies dislike us because we present a real option to their higher prices and insurance limitations. After years of research, Noxetril has been developed and formulated in U.S. FDA labs, packed with the highest quality potent ingredients. Noxetril is a true breakthrough in male potency. This remarkable all-natural pill is being called Viagra on steroids and is known as a powerful winner. So what are you waiting for? Call now and ask how to get your free supply.
Call now and get your free supply. Call 800-575-6039. That's 800-575-6039. Improve your sex life with your free supply. Call 800-575-6039. That's 1-800-575-6039.
The Stem Cell Institute of America is coming to Chicagoland. If you're suffering with pain from osteoarthritis of the knee, low back pain, shoulder pain, neuropathy, or even joint pain, stop and listen. These are must-attend stem cell therapy educational seminars. You'll find solutions for your pain, along with cutting-edge information that could really help change the way you live. With over 20 seminars in Chicago and throughout the suburbs, including Schaumburg, Naperville, Gurnee, Aurora, Crystal Lake, and many more, you need to attend one of these seminars. It could be a life-changing experience. Call 844-543-5633 to register for one of our upcoming seminars. For more information, visit stemcelltherapyforpain.com. Start living life once again. Call 844-543-5633 or visit stemcelltherapyforpain.com. 844-543-5633. That's 844-543-5633.
Hello, Bill.
Wendy, nice to see you, and it's nice to see Eric Zorn.
Zorn, Zorn, Zorn.
Wendy sings the praises of Zorn.
That's excellent. Thank you.
Of course, Eric is a fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune, and I know you have a very specific opinion about Neil Gorsuch, and that opinion would be what?
Well, I think the Democrats should fight this nomination. He, of course, is the Trump administration's nominee to take this seat that Antonin Scalia vacated about a year ago when he died.
Yeah.
And I think that the Democrats should simply refuse to seat him. Now, it's not going to work because the Republicans in the Senate, it requires Senate approval, and the Republicans in the Senate, if they decide to, can vote to just make it a majority vote, and they've got 52 votes in the Senate. They can easily confirm him. But to do so, they're going to have to invoke what's called the nuclear option, which is it gets rid of the filibuster.
They shouldn't call it that.
Yeah, it's a little bit raw.
Sounds a little dark.
But you know, my sense is that the Senate is going to play hardball with the Democrats, and what happened last year was that after Scalia died, immediately the Republicans said, we're not going to confirm no matter who it is who President Obama nominates. He's in his last year of his presidency.
He had 10 months to go.
10 months to go. We're not going to even give him a hearing. They didn't even give him a hearing. And they nominated Merrick Garland from Lincolnwood. And, you know, that violated all the norms of the Senate. And it basically said, well, if you're president, you're only president for 3 years, not four. And that just goes against, you know.
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. And they played hard. And the thing was that Obama nominated Garland. Garland was very centrist. He could have nominated and maybe should have nominated someone like Loretta Lynch, his attorney general.
Someone
was much
far more to the left.
And he had some civil rights warriors who were on his list. He did not nominate anyone to the left. He nominated someone in the middle. And he thought that was extending an olive branch to the Republicans. Like, look, I'm going to give you a guy who is not particularly liberal. He's you know, kind of down the middle. And that's where the country is, really. If you've, you know, I know the country's very polarized, but if you mix it all together, the country's down the middle. So President Obama tried to play nice and you know, go by the rules, and they just flicked him off. So now you have a situation where where Donald Trump has nominated Gorsuch, who's pretty far to the right. Mm-hmm. Some analysis say that he's more to the right than Antonin Scalia. Mm-hmm. He's going to take the court, and he's going to restore a conservative majority to the court. And this is a seat that arguably belongs to Merrick Garland, belongs to a Democratic president. I think the Democrats should fight this. It's not going to work because the Republicans will invoke this rule, but it doesn't matter because they're going to invoke this rule whenever they decide it fits their purposes anyway. They're not going to play nice. The Democrats have been bringing knives to gunfights with the Republicans for way too long. They just have to. And I know it's like, well, do two wrongs make a right? Well, you know, in some ways, you have to show that you've got some backbone, you've got some spine. You're gonna stand up to these tactics, and you're gonna play as tough as they are gonna play. And you know, I've gotten a lot of pushback on the column. I did a column on this for Sunday. I got a lot of pushback from people who are on the Democratic on the left side saying, well, no, let's take the high road.
Sure.
they'll go low and we'll go high. And we'll give this guy a fair hearing, and we'll give him a fair vote based on his qualifications. And my response to that is that the high road has led right to the edge of a cliff for Democrats, and that they need to get back up on their hind legs and fight for this, and make it about principle, and make them invoke this nuclear option, and lay it out and say, okay, this is the way things are going to be from now on. And if the voters decide that's what they want, then that's too bad for the Democrats, but they've lost. If the voters decide that this is not how they want things to run and they mm-hmm. want more balance, then they're going to have to elect more Democrats. I mean, I think it's the only way to go, because otherwise they're just going to get steamrolled.
Don't you think that the Democrats didn't make a huge deal out of the fact that they were railroaded, even though there was 10 months left in Obama's presidency? His pick was put on hold. Don't you think a big deal wasn't made because nobody truly expected Donald Trump to win? Even the Republicans were doubling down and saying, if we get our president in the White House, then we also get our Supreme Court justice. Don't you think nobody just thought it would end that way?
It was brilliant on the part of the Republicans to do that, because, yes, they thought until the very end that Trump was going to lose. In fact, a couple of days before the election, John McCain came out, and along with, there's another prominent Republican, I'm blanking on the name right now, they both came out and said that no matter who Hillary Clinton put up, they weren't going to seat that justice either, that they were going to continue to block because they thought that there were 8 justices was enough for the Supreme Court. They thought Trump was going to lose. What happens is that generally the right, generally conservatives, are more animated about the Supreme Court than people on the left.
Yeah.
Obama and the Democrats and Hillary Clinton did not make a big deal about what was going on with Garland. I mean, they talked about it a little bit, but this was not a big theme in
the
election.
I would have fought that if I were them, too. I mean, not
they
even
didn't.
Talking to
they
Merrick
didn't,
Garland.
Because they were so sure Hillary Clinton would be
they
in the White House
sure.
that they thought it doesn't matter.
And the worst case scenario for the Democrats was that Hillary Clinton was going to get elected, and she was going to nominate Merrick Garland. So they were going to get Garland either
Regardless.
Way, they thought. So why not try fighting?
Always assume the unexpected. That's
and
what we
have
to
thing,
know.
The brilliant thing that the Republicans did was, and Trump did, is he put out a list of conservative jurists mm-hmm. who he thought would be good for the court. And there are a lot of people on the right who realize the importance, and they're completely correct about this, that the Supreme Court is a very, very important part of our society, the
sure.
way our society gets shaped, who's on that court, the ideological tilt of those justices is extremely important. And so they saw this lying con man, Donald Trump, with his, five children by three wives and his vulgar statements and his bigoted statements. They see all those things, but they still see this guy, no matter what, if he's elected, he's going to appoint justices to the Supreme Court that are going to dovetail with our views, and that's worth it. And that's how a lot of people on the right vote, and the left doesn't seem to think that way, and they're going to pay a price for it, I think. So I think it's really important for the Democrats to fight really hard on this, and we'll see what happens.
It's Eric Zorin. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch.